It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Welcome back, 96.5 The Fan, Jay Binkley, Rob Britton. Chiefs pregame at 6 o'clock, game at 7 o'clock, the final preseason game of the year. The tweets are out there. I see the tunnel walks already for the players showing up the field. Yeah, it's go time. Tailgating in full form at Arrowhead Stadium. Everybody's out there. We'll talk to you guys coming up at 4:30 today. Danan Hughes, who, of course, played for Iowa, was a Kansas City Chief, Chiefs color analyst as well, joins us now. And what's up, Danan?
What's going on, man?
Hey, we're very
exciting day. Yes.
Yeah, I'm very excited having you guys over here on the fan and everything else. I think it's going to be a great time. But, you know, how did you feel as a player that final preseason game going into it? Because a lot of guys' jobs are on the line. Obviously, the starter's probably not going to play in this game, of course. But, man, what'd you think about this final game?
Well, Bink, if you remember, I know it's been a long time since I've been on the field, man. It was almost right after leather helmets, you know, so, yeah. But I would say this, during those times, if you remember the drafts, Marty Schottenheimer drafted a receiver in the second or third round pretty much every year after I got in. So I needed every rep I could possibly get. I never felt, never felt like I was comfortable in my role or in a position on the team. So, you know, I know there's been, you know, the decreasing of one of the preseason games, and there's been talk about adding another game to the regular season. They obviously added another one over these past few years. But for me and guys like me, we needed every opportunity we can get. And there's players on this roster now that are playing for their livelihood. And it's not just with the Chiefs. It could be with any other team in the NFL. And Al Saunders, Marty Schottenheimer used to tell us, every time you got a chance to put on that helmet, you have an opportunity. And whatever that role can be, I never played special teams in my life. And I made a six-year career playing special teams in the NFL. So that's the message I would share with the guys on this field tonight. And hopefully they have that kind of mindset that you're not just trying out for the Chiefs, you're trying out for the other 31 teams in the NFL. So this last preseason game for a lot of guys can make or break their careers.
Yeah, no, I'm curious how much goes into it, Dana. When you think about training camp, a lot of the NFL teams, what, just the Chiefs and Raiders don't scrimmage against another team, and I see why these teams are fighting all the time anyway. But then you get to thinking about it, where is the Chiefs offense going to face a better defense than the one they see every day in practice, or, you know, vice versa? Mm-hmm. Where's the defense going to see a better offense and quarterback than Patrick Mahomes? How much do you think of the determination of the coaches when they look at reps of the players happen there as opposed to what they're doing in a preseason game against backups? Because on the field, they're playing, you know, the regular guys.
Yeah. I don't think, especially nowadays, because the practices are a little less physical than they used to be. We didn't really need to scrimmage other teams back when I played because everything was so physical and we were playing two-a-days. Now, we did scrimmage the Saints and the Vikings while we were up at training camp in River Falls, but it wasn't necessary. Nowadays, I think it's necessary. And I remember Coach Spagnuolo talking about the first preseason game and going down to Jacksonville and was like, hey, everything is kind of where we expect it to be, but the one thing that we have not been able to emulate on the field is tackling and bringing guys down to the ground. And lo and behold, if you look back at that Jacksonville Jaguars preseason game, wasn't necessarily our best efforts in tackling and bringing guys down. So you can't emulate that in practice, no matter how good the defense is. So preseason games are definitely necessary. And who knows, if you are a guy and that is a big hitter, even though the game has kind of outlawed some of that, and you're able to come up with some big hits in the preseason game, you wouldn't have been able to show that in practice. You might have been a flyby guy and look like you would have hit somebody, but would you have really hit him? And then, lo and behold, you open up the eyes of the coaches and like, okay, wow, this guy stands out because he's playing against somebody else. So there's nuances to the game. I think we've seen some glimpses of some diamonds in the rough with the Chiefs' depth, and we'll see what they got tonight. Like, you either play yourself in the league or you play yourself out.
Talking to the former Iowa Hawkeye and former Chief and current Chiefs color analyst, Danan Hughes. And, Danan, when you think about this roster construction, Andy Reid last year kept seven receivers for the first time. He hadn't done that before last year. Clearly, there's guys on this roster. It's going to be a fight for it. We know kind of who's going to be the locks on this team. But you think about the Sky Moores of the world, Nico Remigios and Kadarius Toney, and, you know, the guys kind of at the and Justin Ross. I mean, it's going to be a competition. Then you had Dave Tobe the other day saying he's pounding his table for Nico, who does a lot of the special teams, like you mentioned. I mean, that's a good guy to have in your corner is Dave Tobe, and especially with the new kickoff rules. But what do you think? Are they going to keep seven receivers?
I think they could. I think when you – ever since COVID, I don't think very many people remember, Bink, and I know you know this, but ever since COVID, they expanded the practice squad. When I was playing, we had five practice squad positions. Now they have 16. Mm-hmm. You also have the inactive, guys that may be active one game, may not be active another game. So you have an expanded opportunity to not only evaluate guys, but also hold them in case you need them down the road. You think about Justin Ross. You mentioned him. Last year came through and played in a few games, had a few clutch catches. And I don't know if we didn't have that expanded option that he would have been a guy that would have been still on the roster or would have made it through waivers where another team wouldn't have picked him up. That's Nico Remigio now. I mean, what I saw in the first game, I wondered, okay, he was, the ball security wasn't necessarily where it needed to be. He had an opportunity to catch a ball deep and run after catch, and he jumped up in the air and then subsequently fumbled after that. It was overturned. So I wanted to see what he could do the next week. Lo and behold, he came back and ran the ball as well for kickoff and punt that I've seen. Poured it up the middle, nonstop, didn't look like he was fazed by any contact, and really looked good at that position. And if you're not a number one, number two, or number three receiver, you better be able to perform on special teams. So Kadarius Toney, we've known that. We won a Super Bowl because of his exploits on special teams. And if that's going to be the case with one of those two guys, I'm all for it because they've shown they can contribute in that third phase of the game. So I think you got some questions at receiver, but I wouldn't be surprised that you keep seven guys. And let's also remember the depth of this offense and Patrick Mahomes at quarterback. It doesn't necessarily lend itself to going getting a guy in midseason to bring on to this team. The communication, the verbiage, the shifts, the adjustments, the comfort level of getting in Patrick's on Patrick's good side, we haven't really seen that. Where outside of Kadarius Toney, we got him and he had certain packages his first year with the Chiefs. Like, other than that, we haven't really seen guys that were on the shelf that were elsewhere that we brought in to be a factor in this offense after camp. So I feel like if there, for no other reason, you might keep an extra receiver or two just in case there's an injury, like we were here, like what we're seeing with Hollywood Brown now, where you don't want to bring another guy in that has to learn everything in a quick fashion.
And I think it's great, too. They can put veterans on the practice squad now, so that definitely changes things. That's why I look at the tight ends. Like, are they going to keep four? Well, I thought Irv Smith, I thought the Chiefs would keep four tight ends, and they very clearly could. Or they could put Irv Smith still on that list. The running back situation is going to be interesting because I do think they keep a fullback this year, Carson Steele, because of the things that he can do. But as Andy Reid said, this dude's more than a fullback. I mean, we're talking about a guy that had 1,500 yards rushing and lead the MAC in rushing 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he showed, like, he was showing his kickoff return exploits as well. So he doesn't run like a fullback. He's definitely different than what we had with the sausage and in the past. So to have a guy like that that can play fullback, he runs as tough as Isaiah Pacheco. They are very similar in their running style, very violent downhill runners. He breaks tackles, and he can catch the ball out of the backfield. We've also seen early in training camp a lot of the receivers in the backfield, whether it was Mecole Hardman or Rashee Rice, like we saw towards the end of the season. So it may not be necessary that you keep four or five running backs because of the injury factor, because you have that versatile offense where we may go empty more times than not. We may rotate a tight end in the backfield. It doesn't really matter. So that's the nuance of this team and this offense that doesn't allow us to kind of be in the cookie-cutter vanilla way of other teams assembling their roster. Like, we have some flexibility. We got some versatility that we don't necessarily have to subscribe to making sure we have four running backs and making sure we have seven receivers and these amount of linemen, et cetera, et cetera. So I trust Brett Veach. I trust Andy Reid. I think that they'll do an excellent job like they have. And just like every year, we go into the season thing, and Andy we trust, and Brett we trust. And I don't feel like there's any reason to go away from that now.
Dean, I did want to ask you about Xavier Worthy. It's a guy that we look back in our draft podcast we do back in September. We liked Xavier Worthy. I think we mocked Xavier Worthy back to the Chiefs a year ago now, around August last year. The guy plays tough, and this wasn't just because of his 4.21 speed. The guy is an academic all-Big 12 guy. It's a guy that really stood out in the interview process. And had Chris Kleiman on yesterday from Kansas State. He talked about how tough Xavier Worthy was playing against him. He seems like a game changer. He seems like a guy that can play inside, outside, can do whatever you want, but a very cerebral football player. But I do believe the Chiefs hit a home run with this one.
Oh, absolutely. I believe it as well. I think anytime you can gain the type of speed that Xavier Worthy brings to this team, it's definitely a plus. And I give a lot of credit to the scouting department as well as Brett Veach in identifying talent that can be populated around the best quarterback in the league. And I often compare the situation here in Kansas City to Aaron Rodgers and what he went through in Green Bay. Yes, he had a lot of success. Yes, he won MVPs, but you can look back at the assembly of the roster, specifically at the wide receiver position, and question, probably for history, were you able to populate the receiver room properly for the best quarterback in the league at that time? And I think a lot of people would say no. They didn't, until Davante Adams, they didn't go after a guy in the first, second round. They didn't get early draft picks. And they only won one Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers. And yet, you look at our roster, specifically at the receiver position, over the last 4 years, for the last 5 years, going into the season, we had different core of receivers that were expected to be top shelf and to be leaders on this team. And yet, we're winning Super Bowls that way. And they're still populating it after getting Sky Moore, then Rashee Rice, now Xavier Worthy. Like, I commend them for wanting to get the best talent around the best quarterback, and that's why we're so successful.
Dane, and final question for you. I know you got a busy day, and obviously the game will be here at 96.5, the Fan. All right, this kickoff rule. I'm more traditional. I kind of like the way it was, but then again, I sat here and thought, why not teams just kick the ball to the end zone, just give it to them at the 30 because they're averaging 26, 27 anyway. Now the NFL's talking about maybe changing it back to the 35. See, I'm not a fan of this because you've done preseason with it being a 30. And then when you go to the 35, you've kind of changed what your special teams is doing. And a lot of these teams have resigned the fact, hey, we're going to protect our kicker. We're just going to kick it out of the end zone and give it to you at the 30. I know the NFL can change this still. I don't know how you feel about it. But once you've gone through preseason, I would just keep it the way it is.
Well, I think it's a great question. Trent Green, who is the color analyst for the television during the preseason games, he and I actually had this conversation the other day. We were at the Royals game, and he mentioned about bringing it to the 35. And I don't have a problem with it, and here's why. The genesis of why they're changing the rule, or have changed the rule, is because the kickoff return had basically become a null and void play. There was no action, no activity in that play. and the NFL wanted more action, but they wanted it in a safer version. Now, when you start to instill the incentive, I guess you can say, in kicking it between the 20 and the goal line, which we now know after the Jacksonville debacle that it's not the goal line, it's the end line that you have to kick it through, you're opening the door for more action, for people to sit in their seats, for people to stay tuned in, for something magical to possibly happen. Let's also remember, the reason why we won our first Super Bowl back in 2020 was because being down 24 to nothing, Mecole Hardman took a kickoff back that reignited Arrowhead Stadium. Then, subsequently, Daniel Sorensen dislodged the ball on the subsequent kickoff after we scored, and then we know what happened from there. So the fact that over these past few years, that would not have happened had there not been a rule instituted like this, I don't have a problem with the adjustment. But I do agree with you, because I thought in Jacksonville, their rookie kicker, I thought they, in the first preseason game, had decided that they were just going to kick it into the end zone and give up the extra 5 yards instead of the 25 being the 30. I would not have a problem with that. But I think the NFL will have a problem with it if teams just concede that, because that's the whole reason why they're changing the rules. So if they go to the 35, I have no problem with it. I think the Chiefs and Dave Tobe have done a great job figuring out how to make it work. And if we get some explosive kickoff returns that go our favor, we'll love it even more.
Yeah, I actually have no problem with it if it's going to be 35. I just wish they would have changed it before preseason. That way these guys could practice you know, that philosophy through preseason. And now it's going to be changed. Now if they change it, boom, you get the regular season. There's the new rules. So it kind of changes how you approach things. But, Danan, you're the best. Can't wait to hear you tonight with Mitch Holtis calling the game on 96.5 The Fan FM, which will be on your game this year. Thanks, Danan.
No problem, brother.
Big thanks, Danan Hughes, right there. We'll talk to you guys at 4:30 to call in, so you might as well call in. So while you're watching the game tonight, or you go into the game tonight, I'm very curious. We'll do it at 4:30. But coming up next, Tyreek Hill wants to race somebody again. But is he barking up the wrong tree next?
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And welcome back. Jay Binkley, Rob Britton, The Drive till 6 o'clock. Chiefs pregame, 96.5 The Fan here. Then you can hear the Kansas City Chiefs, Mitch Holtis, Danan Hughes, and Josh Klingler as well. Tyreek Hill always seems to be in the news or at the forefront, but he always wants to challenge people, always wants to race them. But he wants to race the 100-meter world's fastest man, Noah Lyles, from Team USA. Says he's going to race Tyreek Hill, but he's not going to do it for cheap, according to Yahoo Sports here. He's only going to do it under his rules. Three-time Olympic medalist, and he won the 100 this year. He will do it, but he wants some cash. Hill, obviously the fastest guy in the NFL. He wants to race, but he wants some stipulations on it as well. He wants just Hill says he wants a 50-yard race because it was 100 for Lyles there, so it'd be a 50-yard race instead of 100. Tyreek Hill, man. Dude's going to be 30 years old. Was he the fastest man in the NFL? Yeah. Is he still? Probably close. I would like to see him race Xavier Worthy, to be honest with you. I think that would be actually an interesting race, seeing as, well, he did go to the combine. The fastest combine ever was Xavier Worthy with the 4.21. But he wants millions of dollars. Noah Lyles wants millions of dollars to race Tyreek Hill. Would that be embarrassing for him to lose Noah Lyles if he lost to Tyreek Hill? Or would he be embarrassed? He can't. I mean, Tyreek Hill's really got nothing to lose, to be honest with you, because if he loses to the world's fastest man, so be it, right? Still doesn't mean he's not the fastest guy in the NFL, in his opinion, but what's he got to lose? I remember the whole Usain Bolt thing, like if he could beat him, which I was thinking, all right, Usain Bolt's in his mid-30s. He probably didn't train near as much as he used to. I was like, oh, maybe Tyreek can beat him. Maybe he can, because Tyreek's a lot younger. He's physical top shape. He's working out in the NFL. We'll see which direction he goes. But now he wants to go and race the world's fastest man. I don't know who you do. Who do you think would win, Rob? Who are you betting on? Hill or Lyles? If, keep in mind, they haven't agreed to race yet.
You got to bet on Lyles.
It's the world's fastest man at this point.
He's an Olympian. Like, this is not an insult to Tyreek Hill's speed, which is incredible. And I think Tyreek Hill would beat Xavier Worthy in a 100-meter dash. Like, Tyreek Hill is, like, there's fast and there's fast you see. And he is speed that, like, you just see it. You're like, wow, that's different level. But this is, like, the best AAA pitcher saying, you know, I want to face Bobby Witt. Okay, well, hold on. There's a levels to this. You are a very, very fast man who is very, very fast in the NFL, and that's very impressive. But Noah Lyles is the fastest man on earth. Now, I will say the stipulations that Tyreek has put in there do benefit Tyreek. I mean, I don't want it to be 100 meters. Oh, so you're taking the... You're killing his advantage. I want it to be 50 yards, and those sort of tweaks, I think, give Tyreek a little bit of a equal playing field.
Yeah, it makes a difference.
You have to bet on Lyles if this happened.
Hill's got his best official time in the 100 meters is 10.19 seconds. Lyles won gold with 9.79. So, I mean, it's not far apart, but 9.79 for Tyreek in 100, his best time ever. And Lyles' best 100 meters was 9.79, 10.19 for Tyreek Hill. But, and they train differently. Lyles has been training for that for the Olympics and the gold medal. I mean, they're obviously both in top shape. But is Tyreek Hill at the point now where he's just not as fast as he used to be in the NFL? And I think that that can be true. I don't think there's any way he's as fast as he was when he first got to the NFL. Is he damn fast? Hell yeah, he is. Is he as fast as he was when he first came to the NFL? I don't know. Noah Lyles, 27. What's Tyreek Hill? He turns 30 this year, doesn't he? I think he turns 30. Hey, he can't be fast forever. I mean, Father Time is undefeated. He's right now, he's 30 years old. He turns 31 this next March. So he's 30 years old right now, going against somebody younger. The 50 yards does give more of an advantage to him because NFL players typically, you know, the 40-yard dash where they're measured, so it's 10 yards past that. And Lyles had to come back, remember, after the 50. After he got past the 50, had to come back from between the 50 and 100, and that's where he excels, the 100-yard dash, to be the world's fastest man. If I was Noah Lyles, though, I would have said we're going to run 100. I would have flat out said, hey, millions of dollars, let's run 100. I don't blame him for wanting to race him, though, if it's millions of dollars. But is there going to be a sponsor willing to pay? Willing to pay both Tyreek Hill and Noah Lyles over $1 million? I mean, who would do that? Who would sponsor? I don't see that happening. So, I honestly, the Usain Bolt thing was funny. But, again, 50 yards is different. I'll give him that. It's a big gap from between the 50 because, obviously, Lyles really excelled between the 50 and 100.
I mean, if Lyles agrees to this, which I don't think he will, then he's going to lose in 50. He just, like, his start is not good enough. Now, his start may still be better than Tyreek Hill's. Like, I would take Noah Lyles starting out of the blocks versus Tyreek Hill, since Noah Lyles does this at the highest level possible, which is the Olympics. But we both watched the Olympics, Bink. He closed to come down and win the 100-meter dash. He wasn't winning off the jump, so there's less time and space to close. So I understand why Tyreek wants that. But if Noah Lyles wants to do this race and Tyreek Hill wants to do this race, you're right. It's absolutely be 100 meters. Noah Lyles just say, no, I'm not racing, you know, some kiddie halfway. No, I'm not doing that. If we're going to have $1 million on the line, we should do this for real, 100-meter dash, and Lyles would smoke him.
100%. If that's your discipline, that's what you do. I wouldn't change it. Millions of dollars might be worth it anyway, but Tyreek Hill once again. And do I think Tyreek Hill's as fast as he was once? No. Do I think Xavier Worthy would beat Tyreek Hill? I actually do, Rob. I think right now, currently right now in the NFL, especially Xavier's age and Tyreek's, I'd take Xavier. 4-2-1 is ridiculous. 913-586-7965. That's the phone line and the text number as well. 913-586-7965. I'm curious. Why are you watching the game tonight? What do you want to gain from the game tonight? What are you looking for? I know what I'm looking for. I brought it up earlier. I know what Rob's looking for. Or are you going to the game? Why'd you decide to go to the game tonight? Chiefs just in your blood and you just have to get out to Arrowhead Stadium? Give us a call. 913-586-7965 next.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
That's right, Chiefs, Bears tonight right here on 96.5. The Fan, Mitch Holtis, Dana Hughes, Josh Klingler. Don't have to change your dial at all. It will be right here, our phone number, 913-586-7965. Also on the text line, people have responded to why they're watching the game tonight or why they're going to the game tonight. Listen, I don't blame you if you go. I don't blame you if you don't go. I don't think it makes you less of a fan if you have season tickets. And again, a lot of people look for their neighbors or whatever, their friends, and, hey, you want to go to the game. Someone on text line from the 913 says that this is the game that they can afford. The only game they can afford going this way because they got the tickets cheaper. It's understandable. Bring those kids out there. Have them enjoy the game. Let me recommend going to training camp, too. There's days where it's absolutely free, and if they do charge, it's not much at all to go up there. So you can see it. You can see the game. You're right there. You're up close. You can get autographs ever because what they did in training camp is one position group would sign them per day for the Chiefs. I did see this text, though, from Adam Teicher. Covers the Chiefs for ESPN, and this is interesting. It says, offensive players you are unlikely to see for the Chiefs tonight, except on the sideline wearing a baseball hat. I get the Mahomes one's easy. Obviously, he wouldn't get play. He put Carson Wentz, too. So maybe a lot of Ian Book and Chris Olatokun tonight for the Chiefs. The running backs, Pacheco, CH, don't expect to see them. Wide receivers, and this was interesting, though. Rice, Worthy, Brown, Watson, understand all that, but he put Moore. Put Sky Moore. Now, why would you not have Sky Moore play, Rob? Is it because you think he's a lock to be on the roster, or have you seen enough from Sky Moore and you want to see the other guys? You don't want to see snaps being taken away from a Justin Ross or a Nico or Kadarius Toney at this point, to be honest with you. I thought that was interesting that he put that on there, Moore. What's he trying to say? Tight ends, Kelce and Gray won't play. Starting five offensive linemen. You won't see those tonight. You'll see a ton of Jared Wiley. If you want to see what he's got, it's, you know, look forward to seeing what the rookies can do. You won't see Kingsley or Xavier Worthy, the top two draft picks for the Chiefs, play tonight. But the Sky Moore thing is interesting. The Nico thing, I think, really put things into question when Dave Tobe, 2 days ago, in his press conference, basically said this.
I mean, Nico did a great job. I'll be pounding the table for that guy. I love him.
Pounding the table for that guy. Well, that's certainly a very powerful ally to have trying to make the team. And really, if kick returns were more of part of the process, if they were putting it to 35 instead of 30 where it is now, if you kick it out of bounds, it becomes more prevalent, being on special teams, being the kick returner, being in there. But I thought that was interesting that Sky Moore was on there. Because you would think right now, the starting seven, you know, seven in no particular order, Hollywood, Worthy, Justin Watson, Rashee Rice, of course, Mecole Hardman. Then I think there's two spots. I think they keep seven. So it's between Sky, it's between Nico,
between those two guys. It's between Justin Ross. And I put Kadarius Toney there, but I think Tony's the odd man out. I don't see him making it. Justin Ross has definitely had the preseason like you would want him to have. He's definitely had a better preseason this preseason than he has the two previous years, to be honest with you. He's looked better. But as far as, do you keep somebody just for special teams? Do you keep somebody for Dave Toe? Because that's where Nico would play more special teams and be on there. Sky Moore will play special teams as well. We know that, so those two. Plus, Sky Moore's been on this roster a couple years, has a couple rings under his belt. But that will be something to watch tonight. And you want to see Carson Steele, you'll see a lot of him tonight. You'll see a lot of one-back sets. You name it, you'll see Carson Steele tonight for the Chiefs. No doubt about that. You're going to see a lot of Derek Prince probably. I mean, if Clyde's not going to play, and I doubt he would even play tonight, I don't see it happening at all. Pacheco's not going to play. You'll see a lot of Carson Steele, Derek Prince. You can see some Amani Bailey. So Keontae Ingram running tonight. The quarterback situation, but again, you're running behind the offensive line that's not the starters. That definitely changes things. But you're going against a defense with second team, third team, fourth team guys. So it's really hard, in my opinion, to get a good gauge if they go out and excel because you're going, okay, who are they playing against? This corner's not going to be in the NFL. He's going to be selling insurance next year. He's not going to be here. You know, how good is he really? Or did they show something in practice every day? And is that more valuable? And to me, I know the preseason's valuable for some of these guys. I honestly think Andy Reid's practices are more valuable as far as tape, seeing guys up close and personal every single day in practice, knowing what they do in the classroom when they're not on the football field. I think all this goes in and weighs a hell of a lot heavier than what you do against second and third team guys. But I could be wrong.
So a couple things. One, to answer the question, why are you going out there tonight? I wouldn't go out there tonight. Just full disclosure, we have a inner office, raffle a lot of times before Chiefs games. All right, anyone in the building has a chance to enter the raffle and get tickets. Not for every game, just for a handful of games. There is a raffle available for tonight's game. I did not enter the raffle because I have no interest in going tonight. And you reference what Teicher said. No Mahomes, no Wentz, no Pacheco, no CEH. None of the five receivers you have any interest, which I'm interested in Sky Moore name, and we'll get to that. No Kelce, no Gray, no starting offensive line. I'm imagining the defense is going to look very similar if he ever has a tweet of that nature from ESPN saying, probably no Chris Jones. I'm betting no Nick Bolton, no McDuffie tonight if I'm betting. I bet guys like that are all going to be, padless, standing on the sideline. So unless this, you don't get a chance to go to games often because you got little ones and this is a chance to take the little ones out to a game, I don't understand the allure of preseason game number three. Like, Andy Reid is playing this right from a win football games perspective, but as far as fans buying tickets to go to Arrowhead to see the team tonight, what Andy Reid is doing is screwing the fan because there is absolutely no reason for the product on the field to go to the game. Even if you are like, I want to see Carson Steele, you don't need to go pay the prices to go see Carson Steele tonight. That is not of the utmost importance. Enjoy your Thursday night. It's a nice evening.
It's a great night. It's 77 degrees?
I wouldn't go to this game. I had a chance to possibly go to this game, and I said no thank you.
78 degrees now, it says. I mean, the weather is going to be absolutely perfect, but I do get it. I mean, maybe somebody got the tickets free or got them extremely cheap, and this is their one opportunity to go to the game. Maybe that's the case. Maybe this is, just, like I said, maybe it's what people do. I know there's some people revolve their whole game day activities around the Chiefs. They gather with their family, friends to watch the game at home when they're on the road or whatever. It's like Thanksgiving every single weekend at your house. It's just what you do. You gather and you watch Kansas City Chiefs games, which you're going to have a hell of a lot of time to watch other teams play this year because the Chiefs playing at night or during the week. So you're going to have a ton of time to sit there and watch some NFL Red Zone if that's what you want to do. Somebody in text line says they're dying to see Ian Book tonight.
Ever wanted to see Ian Book.
Unless it's a diehard Notre Dame fan. I think
even
that's
diehard
sarcasm.
Notre Dame fans don't care about Ian Book. But Bink, the other thing I was going to say about this Teicher tweet that I find very interesting.
Yeah.
We talked yesterday, and there's a cut in the system, and I can play it if you'd like, where Nate Taylor was on this radio program, and Nate Taylor was talking about how he thinks Clyde Edwards-Helaire may not make the team.
Say a prayer, y'all. I'm dead serious.
You think he's done?
Say a prayer. He's going to have to – like, this is crazy. He's going to have to play on Thursday. Like, Andy Reid, we talked to him today before today's practice, and it was brought up. And Andy Reid said, I don't know.
Okay, so that was Monday. Nate Taylor was on the show before 96.5 night at the K. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is listed here by Adam Teicher as one of the players that will be wearing a baseball cap tonight and not playing in the game. Does that mean he's a lock for the roster? Does that mean he's safe? Because if the Chiefs felt the way Nate Taylor just said, hey, it's we'll see, I don't know, he'd be playing tonight. Now, I know he's been battling illness up at camp, or at least that's what he's listed on the injury report with. I know that he's come out and talked about some PTSD in his life, and I don't want to diminish mental health issues. That could be what's holding him out. I don't know. But the fact that he's listed tonight in this tweet from a Chiefs reporter saying he's not going to play tonight makes me think that he is on the roster. Because if he was on the bubble, he'd be in the game, right?
I think so. I think he'd be playing tonight. You got to feel that desperation when you hear your head coach talking that way. And I know he's gone through some issues, but you got to play. I mean, the bottom line is, I mean, the football, the NFL's business, it's the business of being on the field and playing because it matters. This team's trying to three-peat. You got a lot of people in the locker room, you know, expecting you to play. You get a lot of people depending on you and your skills. And for the Chiefs, when they take Pacheco out, they'd like to have somebody that they know. They're plotting back for a reason. There's a lot of thought that he wouldn't even be back this year, but he'd come back for the Chiefs. The Sky Moore one to me, too, is interesting, Rob.
I was about to get to that one because Sky Moore was one we talked about yesterday that we thought could be a cut player. He's also in the what appears to be the safe camp since he's not playing tonight because Tony is playing.
Yep.
But Sky Moore isn't. That makes me think Sky Moore is a Chief in 2024.
So if he is, that would be six. So if, you know, you read the tea leaves and if he's on this roster, then that's down between Nico, Kadarius Toney, and Justin Ross.
Now, is it vying for one spot or two? That becomes the question.
Well, if Moore makes the team, that's six that I have making the team because I've got Brown, Worthy, Watson, Rice, and Hardman. But again, we're talking about the seventh receiver. You're hardly going to get any playing time. You're not going to get much at all. We know that. So is CH going to go get IR'd? I mean, who knows? I mean,
this is an honest question, and I don't mean to diminish mental health, and this comes off that way. I apologize. Are you allowed to put a player on IR based on illness? Because
on PUP, physically and non-football reasons.
You can put a guy on. Yeah, that's true.
It'd
I guess
be non-football reasons.
But can you IR him with non-football? I know you can PUP a guy for non-football reasons, but can you put a guy on IR, icing him down for the season for non-football reasons? I honestly don't know. And again, I'm working on the basis of that he is listed right now on the injury report with illness. That is what they are saying. I don't know if that's because of what he spoke about with his PTSD or if he came down with a virus or, you know, the flu. I don't know. But I'm unaware of the rules there as far as like non-football. You don't see IR non-football reasons.
Yeah, it's non-football. I mean, you don't see that very often at all. But again, I think it's important to play. And then again, you're not going to stash him to keep him for next year because I think they're going to move on at that point, clearly. You know, Denerick Prince showed some flashes this preseason. I think we liked what we saw from him. He had basically a roster spot locked up last year when he was going to be kick returner and then clearly didn't, but was still here on the practice squad. Carson Steele, I know a lot of people want to see. So I actually think that might be kind of fun. Watching him run, Carson, again, it's going to be with the backup offensive line. Seeing Jared Wiley at tight end, seeing Jaden Hicks thump some people at the safety position, I'd like to see that. Someone's asking me about Kingsley, you know, being the starting left tackle, but he will be the starting left tackle, no question about it. By the way, this 816 brings up Stetson Bennett. Remember Stetson Bennett? Because he didn't play. It was non-football reasons. Remember where the Rams got to keep him last year. So Stetson Bennett was put on some list last year from the Rams because it was a non-football deal. And they wouldn't really talk about it, but who knows what it was, but he was put on the non-football list. But they wanted to keep him going forward in the future, and I don't know if the Chiefs want to keep him. 913, why is Hardman such a lock? There's three other guys with skill sets already. He hasn't done anything.
They like him. They brought him back for a reason. They like the experience. I don't know. He made some key drops last year. He did catch the game-winning Super Bowl touchdown. That's what Hardman has going for him. I think they like his speed. He definitely blends in with the way the Chiefs are. Very fast team, the Jet. You know, putting Hardman out there. He can return kicks. He can do a lot of different things. I think he's on the team because of that. He can return kicks, and there's a certain level of trust with him in this offense because he knows it. But I'd put him as a lock, because especially with the group we're talking about. Kadarius better have one hell of a game, and I don't think that can save him either, Rob. I don't think that saves him at all. And as far as the pipe dream of being able to trade him for a third or fourth, at the text line asked me from time, there's no way in hell no one's going to give you that at all. Because they probably think the Chiefs are just going to outright release him. Outright release him, he's gone. They can just go pick him up at that point.
I know we saw a trade today in the NFL. Two trades today. We saw Jahan Dotson and a very small trade between the Seahawks and the Ravens. But I know a lot of people in the text line are suggesting this. Well, maybe those guys aren't playing because it's to make sure they don't get hurt because they're working on trades. You don't see a lot of trades this time of year in the NFL because why would I trade an asset for a player who's about to get cut? Like, if Kadarius Toney is on the cut line, which we both think, and I'm the Arizona Cardinals, pick a team. Why would I trade you a pick when I can just wait a week and you're cutting him and
yeah,
I can
sign him? Released.
Yeah.
Free and clear, you don't have to spend anything for
so
it.
So I don't think Kadarius Toney is, or Sky Moore, excuse me, is potentially not playing tonight as part of a protection plan to get him moved for a late round pick, because other NFL teams know that you're going to cut him. So why would I move an asset for him?
Yeah, I don't think they do it. By the way, last year Stetson Bennett was put on the non-football injury list. So that's where they said that non-football list, but that does exist, the non-football injury list for issues like that. But again, they wanted Stetson Bennett for the future too. I don't think the Chiefs have long-term plans at all for CEH. Like, none. I think it's his last dance with the Kansas City Chiefs. And it's interesting, though, because you got to get on the field. It's like Nate said, because at what point are you starting to worry about it? Because you need that production. Are you that confident in Derek Prince? Are you more confident with Clyde getting back out there and returning to who Clyde was? Because Clyde does find the end zone. Carson Steele, you buying into that? I like how the fact, you know, he is a fullback, and I do think he makes the team as that because he's got the body type like a fullback. But he's interesting to me because he moves piles, and the Chiefs really struggled on third and one or fourth and one. And as Andy Reid said, he runs like a halfback because he was a halfback. He played tailback at UCLA last year. It was very good. And the year before that, he was at Ball State and led the MAC conference in rushing. He had over 1,500 yards rushing. So it's not like, you know, it's typical fullback that'll get 130 yards rushing for the entire season. No, he ran for 1,556 yards 2 years ago. So he can run. It's one of the more interesting guys to me. Because if he makes the teams at third and one, fourth and one, you feel confident you've got your third and one guy, your fourth and one guy? Because to me, out of anybody in the roster, I would have more confidence in him. And I know Pacheco runs harder than hell, and he's tough to bring down. But again, he's been on this team, and this team's struggling on third and one and fourth and one. Like, can this be your answer? I don't know. But that's the one area they've really struggled in the past couple of years, is getting that short yardage. Because almost you feel more confident if they're, you know, third and three or third and four than third and one, picking up that 1 yard. But if Carson Steele can prove that he can do that, you might have your answer on third and fourth down. Chiefs go two tight ends, three tight end sets, 12, 13 personnel in situation lining up. It'll be interesting to see what he can do and provide. And obviously, Carson Wentz had the best short yardage running of any NFL quarterback. And it wasn't a tush push in Philly. They didn't do that when he was there. But I don't see them putting him on short yardage situation. They could, because he can throw it as well. So who knows what they would do. But I think Carson Steele might be the answer to that. Come up next, the 5 o'clock hour. Don't have the hits music yet. We'll go back to some coaching staff continuity for the Kansas City Chiefs.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.